Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. If you have any correspondence or inquiries of the WIBR Warn Radio Network, you can send them to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter by using hashtag Warn Radio and hashtag WatchmanIS216. On Instagram, it's hashtag Warn Radio. LinkedIn, use hashtag Watchman. And you can join us on USA.life or MeWe by using hashtag Warn Radio. And you can join us on Parler by using at Watchman DGS. And also CloudHub by using at Warn Radio. You can listen to the shows on through the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Podchaser, and Deezer. You can also listen to the shows by going to warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And there's some special events and celebrations coming up this month. The eve of September 18th through the evening of September 19th is the Feast of Trumpets, and it's also the new moon. And the eve of September 27th to the evening of September 28th is a Day of Atonement, the High Holy Days from Trumpets to Days of Atonement. And the October evening, the 2nd to the evening of the 10th is the Feast of Tabernacles. So those are some events to look forward to. And be sure to take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. This one is found on warn-usa.com. Israeli Middle East struggle for peace with people who want no peace. Israeli Middle East has been the hot spot of trouble for many years, trying to find an Israeli Middle East peace with people who want no peace is impossible. Sustainable Delusion. This is an article on the book of Steal the Darkness, and you can find that on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Sustainable Delusion. It is evident that such an event and the work to deceive would be impossible. However, it is a sustainable one. Also, Bold Justice, Judgment and Mercy. This is found on danaglennsmith.com. In time, judgment, justice, and mercy will arrive. Today, it is hard to find mercy, let alone justice, in the earth. Many follow that which seems right in their own eyes. This path will lead them to destruction. And now, I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Greetings. Welcome to a Friday. We have been a while since we've done this, about a week. We had another week full of excitement last week, and we have done the intro to this, Fighting God. That's what seems like America is doing, the Kingdom War. Fighting God, the Kingdom War is what our new series is about. This week, we focus House Divided. House Divided. Fighting God. The House Divided. When you see the world, you see a lot of places divided. When you look at America, you definitely see a divide and divisiveness and hatred and no common sense. No civility giving a person a break. And thuggish brats that are given freedom to, that is from the Democrats. Now, of course, the feds are cracking down, about time. But it's too bad. The bottom line of it is, the Lord talked about that a long time ago, about a house being divided, and a house being divided, if you have any knowledge of the gospel at all, you have probably heard that. A house divided against itself cannot stand. If Satan cast out Satan, how can the kingdom of darkness stand? If the kingdom of God fights among itself, how can it stand? Well, see, God's kingdom is not divided. And those who are his are really his, and those who are lukewarm, well, they haven't got there yet. There's a lot of issues when we begin to see about a house divided. But I'm reminded of the children of Israel, and one good thing that, I mean, instant, that I really like the story is of the 12 spies that went to search out Canaan. You see, they had had the chance. They were given a chance to go into the land right away, and they weren't prepared. In Numbers 13, you see where they were told to go into the land and what it is, verse 18. And they were able to go in and see the people that dwell there, verse 18. And they were able to see if the people are strong or weak, few or many, verse 18. They were going to be able to see the land and those that dwell in it and whether the land is good or bad. To see the cities, what are they like? Who are dwelling in them? To see whether they live in tents or if they're in strongholds. Makes a lot of difference. If you're in tents, it's not hard to overrun you, but if you're in a stronghold, for instance, like Nineveh or Babylon, it's harder. To see what the land is, whether it is fat or lean, is it worth even invading? And to see if there's wood or not, because they have to build. Well, you see, the Lord sent them in, and if you really had the faith, why would God send you into a land that wasn't worth conquering? That the people were so strong there, and why would they be strong there if the land wasn't any good? That doesn't make any sense. To look and see the cities, are they going to be in tents? Well, if it's a good land, they're going to be in strongholds. That's only common sense. Whether the land has a lot of things, fat or lean, whether it has a lot of harvest. Is there a lot of fruits in the land? Well, God isn't going to give you second-rate land. He just ain't going to do it. And there's one requirement above everything else, and they were to be of good courage. And you're going to find that repeated if you do read the children of Israel, if you read Joshua. You're going to find out that they were to be of good courage. Now, the problem is that, well, they did go in. But, yeah, we saw the people. Yeah, God, we know you're with us, but you're not standing here with us, and we have to go up and just trust you to help us. I mean, come on. I know you delivered us out of Egypt, but, you know, this is ridiculous. I mean, these people are 15 feet tall, man. We're like little ants in their sight. The sons of Anak, which come of the giants, the Nephilim. Verse 33. Now see, this verse alone is a problem. Because everybody that had breath died in the flood. Except for Noah and his family. And of course, the animals that were with him. That's what it said. That's what Scripture says. And so before that, before the flood, there were the Nephilim and the giants. God destroyed everything, and everything that had breath died. So if that's the case, then where did the sons of Anak come from, which came out of the giants or the Nephilim? Well, you know, Michael Heiser and I talked about that on a show one time many years ago. I also interviewed Michael Lake as well. And there's a lot of things that can happen here. But when you look at this, we're not really sure how they wound up again, unless they did the same thing they did before. And, of course, that phrase, the sons of God went down among the women, and of them were born the giants. Well, at any rate, in Numbers 13:25, they returned home from searching the land after 40 days. And, of course, whenever you look at things and you see the numbers, 40 days, Jesus, Yahshua, was in the wilderness for 40 days. Moses fasted twice for 40 days. 40 is a number of completion, spiritual completion. Because in order to be spiritually prepared, Christ fasted and prayed for 40 days before he was tempted of the devil. Remember that next time you want to go take on the devil without the Lord. Of course, there is a little scripture that we're told that resist the devil and he will flee from you. So maybe he ain't so tough. Well, he is. But the fact that Christ triumphed openly over all principalities and powers has something to do with it. And the fact that when you receive him, he is there in your midst. Verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. This is the people. To all the congregation of the children of Israel. And unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and unto the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, these are the spies. So you had the spies there meeting with Moses and Aaron. And of course, Miriam was there, and Joshua and Caleb and the others, as well as the congregation. And everybody's listening. And the congregation, of course, has a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt. These aren't ones that come out of the loins of Jacob at all. But yet they left with the children of Israel, a mixed multitude. And of course, among them would have been the heirs of Joseph. And we find Manasseh and Ephraim, who are the two major ones as a result of a union between Joseph and his wife, who happened to be an Egyptian daughter of a pagan priest there. So we find there in Israel the first instant of the Gentile line through Joseph being intertwined into the children of Israel. Because remember, God told Abraham that in him would all the nations of the earth be blessed. And they're blessed through this seed that is now flowing. And of course, then we have past Joseph, we have Ephraim and Manasseh, both who have that seed of the Gentiles. But Ephraim is the one to whom was given the blessing, and in him was found the same thing that we find in Abraham, that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed, speaking of the Gentile nations. So we do have, then, when the children of Israel come out of Egypt, we see the mixed multitude representing the Gentile line that is in the world. And you can't get away from the fact in the Old Testament, and then, of course, in the New Testament, the fact of the Gentiles being there, even though during the law and even during the early days of Israel, they saw the Gentiles as mere pagan unbelievers, which most of them were. Well, it didn't take long, though, before Israel began having trouble. So they told him, speaking to Moses and Aaron and Miriam and Jacob and Caleb, of course, would have been up there close because they were close to Moses and Aaron. And so they said, "We came into the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." And it would have been big because you've got big people there. And, of course, this is in the early portion of the earth, and the fruit, let's put it this way, the curse hasn't devoured the earth yet, and the fruit is big. The animals are big. The fish are big. Everything is fruitful. And nevertheless, he says, they say, "The people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." Now, this is also a very interesting phrase. Because when we see the children of Anak, this particular phrase illustrates that they were familiar with the children of Anak. Now, it's hard to say how they became familiar. Did they hear about the children of Anak while they were in Egypt? Could have been. But they knew about them. "The Amalekites dwell in the south of the land, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites," and we call these all the Ites, "and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea by the coast of Jordan." Now see, Goliath came from this same line of giants as well. And, of course, by the time Goliath came around, there weren't a lot of giants around anymore, big people. And there were little people. And of course, the Bible does give us description of various groups of people, but Caleb and Joshua, when they got into the land, they defeated them. And, of course, you can follow the history of this. You can also look to where some of these actually came into America, because we find giants that were in America as well. So you can trace this whole line into a lot of things that people really delve into, and these are the giants, the Nephilim, and all the relation, and how they descended down through the years and how they came to be. And from this, we also look at, you know, the various, for instance, Bigfoot and a lot of other things that exist that it's hard to find or find them today. But yet we know they exist, and we knew that the giants exist. L.A. Marzulli and I did a whole line, a lot of interviews together over a course of a number of years. And then he went and did his book, and he did extensive research on a lot of this stuff. There's no doubt about it. Now, my family comes from Catalina, and it was Catalina where they actually found the bones of a giant there. Marzulli asked me about it. Now, my grandfather was a forest ranger, I guess you could call him. He worked for the government, but his job was in the ocean and protecting the seabeds and also on Catalina. And my family never talked about him finding anything, but I can guarantee you my grandfather was an outdoorsman. He was a hunter. He was a fisherman. He worked in the wilderness as well as on the ocean. We used to call him a man's man. He was a Golden Gloves boxing champion. My dad saw him once take out three men within a minute after they tried to accost him and his wife, my grandmother. So he was one of those types, and he would have known if there's anything along that line there. And they did find the bones. So when we talk about the giants, and although there's people that are skeptical about this issue and skeptical about what is going on, whether the scripture is kind of exaggerating, it's not exaggerating. Now, the people that saw them, you know, they saw the children of Anak, and they had heard about them. You can tell from the phrasing and the way it is, because if they hadn't heard about them, they wouldn't have been able to really understand exactly who they were. But they knew who was in it. They knew the various clans. They knew where they lived. And you know, the funny thing of it is, you have the 10 spies going into the land, and yet they're not of the land, and the people in the land would have known that, but yet they came out of there alive, which is interesting as well, because if they were really mean and nasty giants that ate everybody around them, which down through the years, we've had all the giants, you know, Jack the Giant Killer and the mean old giant who would eat humans and everything like that. Well, there is a segment when we look at Genesis 6, an issue with that whole thing, because they did get mean and nasty. And so they said, but the men that went up with him said, now see here, I missed a part. Verse 30 says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Now remember, you're talking about Caleb would have been with Joshua here as well. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now see, that's faith. He saw the same thing, and so did Joshua, that the other spies saw. Same thing. They saw all the fruit. They saw all the cities, how strong they were. They saw the giants. But the men that went up with him, and they do say him, but Joshua is mentioned when we look at some of the other. There was a different spirit about both Caleb and Joshua, because they knew the Lord, not just because there was a God somewhere that had blessed them, but they personally knew him. There was different about him. They were likened unto Moses, except Moses was a prophet. So they knew him. And so the men said, we're not able to go up against this people, for they're stronger than we. Now, see, that land represented the promises that God had given to Abraham that had been given down through his people. God saved Jacob and his whole family, and they actually began to save him by the fact of the brothers who were filled with jealousy sold Joseph into slavery to the Egyptians. Well, actually, they sold him to some caravans going by, and they sold him. Actually, Joseph got sold to Potiphar. And so, at any rate, you know, you have that whole line. There's a line of promises in there. And God worked that whole scenario out to save his people so he could send this through here. And he even told Abraham, when Abraham had the dream, that he was going to have, you know, his people were going to go through a period of darkness. And see, whenever you're going to be given great responsibility, there is a cost you have to pay. And so God, you know, they went through this, and then God delivered them out of Egypt. So here they are, and God brought them directly to where they could enter in and get that promise right now. Now pay attention here. You know, there are promises, and they're at hand. They're in Scripture, you know, and there's a lot of promises. In order to get a promise, it's more than just confessing it. It's more than just looking at it. You have to possess it. You have to go over it, go out for it, go grab it. Now, Caleb and Joshua, too, along with Moses and Aaron, they all knew that God could do it. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw there are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so were we in their sight. So when you begin to see things as giants and impossible, now see, these were literal giants, but many times today when we think of things, we think it's too hard. But see, when things are the most difficult and things seem absolutely impossible for man, that's when God moves. And we have reported on things. We have seen things. I mean, I remember when we went to Bible school, we sold our house, left everything, left a good job. We had a big U-Haul going to a school we had only visited once, but we went by faith, and we made it through that whole thing. Didn't have a lick of financing. We finally got some. I mean, we didn't have any money when we went. You know, unlike all the rich kids who have mommy and daddy and all their bank accounts, we didn't. And you begin to appreciate an education when you begin to look at it and understand that, hey, it costs you something. But what do we find in some of these riots? Well, recently they've come out. One girl who was facing a lot of it was some wealthy chick. You know, her parents were wealthy. And her mother hadn't seen her in a long time, but she had lost her phone during the riot, so mom made sure she had another phone, but she said at least she's not in Rikers. You know, that's all mom cared. She wasn't in Rikers, you know, but she was up on charges for destroying the city and windows, a lot of damage done. You know, and along with her, there was a bunch of others, and they were all rich kids, and they were white. There wasn't a black kid among them. Or a Hispanic. you know. So there is a difference in coming up and seeing miracles and fighting for stuff. Israel didn't have anything handed to them on a platter. They had to live by faith. They had to believe God. They went into captivity for a very long time. They suffered tremendously. They were delivered and saw the signs and wonders. They saw what happened to Pharaoh's army at the sea. They rejoiced over it. But yet when they got to this point and they saw actual fleshly beings that were huge and the walls so big that their hearts sank and they had no faith. And the folks, you can face the same thing. You may not see a giant as a fleshly humanoid type creature or person. You may face something else in your life. You may fight cancer. I mean, in America alone, we're fighting division, possible civil war. A house divided is not going to stand. You have an open congresswoman, Ilhan Omar, calling for the fall of America. She's encouraging the riots. Ilhan, who's the other one? AOC is doing the same thing. You have Congress itself. The Dems, you know, they're all allowing him to go because everything is to defeat Trump because they hate him so much. And the only thing Trump wanted to do was make America great. I mean, that's like hating someone that wants to give you a new paint job on your car, paint your house, or even give you a new house. Well, you know, I don't like you. Why? Just because I want to give you a house, you don't like me? Just because he wanted to make it greater, he wanted to fix up the house of America that had been broken down. I mean, this is stupid. This is politics. And some of the guys coming up, running this year, and I've seen a couple of them, young men that are running. One I know is a veteran. And both of them said the people that they were running against had been in Congress longer than they've been alive. And that's the problem you find with the Democrats. Look at all the Democrats in there. And you can see some of the old Republicans that side with these old Democrats. They're all the same ilk. They've been there forever. You can't get away. And so when you're talking of division, a house divided, and that's what we're talking about today, that's a sad thing. And the real house that you don't want divided is in your own heart. James talks about that. You know, when he talks about, you know, if you need wisdom, let him ask of God, but not wavering. Because if you waver, you're not going to get it. Why? Because you're divided. And if you go to Numbers, and I'm not going to read all these verses. I'm just giving you the context of it. The next context is Israel's rebellion then at Kadesh. Numbers 14, 1 through 45. This is where you're fighting against God. So you have a certain portion of them that are ready to go in out of the 10. But you have a lot of the others who had complained so much convinced Israel, and that's why an evil report, and the evil report represents unbelief. They didn't believe in God, and when you don't believe God can do something, you basically are calling him a liar. And so all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Why? Because they were totally upset. The report, which was evil, caused a stir among them because of unbelief. And once the seed of unbelief goes through a congregation, it affects everybody. It'll destroy them. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses. Now, here's where you get into the real sin. It's one thing to fall into unbelief. And Scripture tells us in the New Testament, Paul says this, anything that is not of faith is sin. Now you figure that out. God expects you to be in faith. He expected the children of Israel to have faith in him because they had seen his miracles. They had been in captivity. He had delivered them. Not one hair on their head had been scratched. They got frightened when the armies of Pharaoh got close to them. They got scared when they were next to the sea and didn't know where to go. And God even told Moses, "Why comest thou to me? Get over there to the water and stand it and hold out your staff." In other words, do something, Moses. You're the leader. You know me and what I can do. Get over there and get going. That's my paraphrase, but, you know, God isn't one to put up with us. Well, he is and he isn't. Because he does have mercy and grace towards us. But, you know, a lot of times we're kind of stuck in the mud. We've all been there, folks, so don't tell me that you haven't. You get to the point where, you know, you just don't quite have the faith. You're just not there yet. There's something, there's a problem, an issue. Now, see, the children of Israel murmured then, began to blame Moses, and they murmured against Moses and Aaron. And it says, the whole congregation said unto them, now this isn't new for them, because the children of Israel got into this, would God had we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore, as the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey, would it not better for us to return to Egypt? Now, I've written about this. I've had sermons on this. Returning to Egypt. And whenever you return to Egypt, you're going back into bondage. And when you return to Egypt, the chances of you ever becoming free again will never happen. You can't return to bondage. If you return to bondage, it will be worse than it was before. And so they said, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Now, this is how bad it is. And these are people that had seen the miracles of God. They did more than what most churches and Christians, you know, since the apostles have never seen miracles like the children of Israel saw coming out of Egypt. And, you know, it's just unbelievable. And so they were ready to make a captain and to get out of there. And so you have this opposition. You have Moses and Aaron, which represents the representatives of God. For the Lord told Moses, he said, you will be like God unto Pharaoh, and Aaron will be like a prophet to Pharaoh. And so Moses and Aaron were not slackers. They had been in the fight. They had been up against Pharaoh time and again. Now see, Moses was of the house of Pharaoh. He was in that majesty. He knew what it was like. He knew what things can be. And when he came back and they seen him and knew who he was, you know, Moses easily could have been arrested and murdered. But they didn't. They didn't touch him because he was protected. Now, verse 6, this is where Joshua comes in. Now, see, for some reason, they don't mention Joshua in the other section, but in this section it says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched out the land, rent their clothes. See, so when I told you before that Caleb was with Joshua, it didn't say Caleb, but this one does. This lays it out a little more in Numbers 14. And they rent their clothes. Why? Because they're upset. They're ready to go in. And they spake unto all the company of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he'll bring us into this land and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only not rebel against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now you see, They were ready. This is the difference between faith and fear. Fear, the devil comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, there's another one. The main defense in all of this is fear. Before killing, stealing, and destroying anything of yours, there's one thing he has to do. One word, faith. If he destroys your faith, the opposite of faith is fear. Fear will allow the devil to kill, steal, and destroy anything he wants out of you and your family. And he can do the same thing to a nation. The only reason we've been able to have these kind of congressmen in this country who call for destruction, the only reason we can have the division, the only reason all of this is happening because of the sin and iniquity in this country. And I would agree with you if you said, but America is not the worst nation on earth. No, it's not. I can think of a lot of others. And I can see the people that are persecuted there, too. I know of them very well. We report on a lot of them. Nevertheless, in this country, you take California, who is caught up in fires. They just got done with a bill, a pedophilia bill, that reduced the penalty if some adult is caught pedophiling a child. Now, see, personally, I think human adults that do this to children should be shot, period. I have no qualms about that, because if they do this to children, they ain't worth to be alive, period. It isn't a sickness, it's a sin, and we have made it into a welcome thing. Then, of course, you have Netflix and the pedophilia they got going on there now. But see, the other thing is the abortions issue that all of the liberals have taken on, which is killing babies right out of the womb. And then, of course, you have a lot more than that going on in this country. But those are enough to bring the wrath of God. The pedophilia alone and doing that to children is enough to get you destroyed. And then, of course, there's blood guilt. And we have a lot of blood guilt. And yet the Democrats have yet to condemn any of the rioting, and there's been people killed in that, innocent people, and that is blood guilt. And when blood drenches the land, and it's innocent blood, then the blood will vomit the inhabitants, the land will vomit the inhabitants out. In other words, get rid of them. Now, I'm talking to you in terms of law here, and you may say, well, we're under grace. Well, the land and everything in it, including us, are still subject to the same things. God pays attention to blood guilt. Blood guilt happened in the time of Christ. Blood guilt was spoken of by the Lord. And this is payment for the shedding of innocent blood. And I teach on this a lot. And when you get into Revelation, it's full of feeding the people blood. That is the judgment of the blood in Revelation. Dear God, give me strength if you can't understand plain English here. So you have Joshua and Caleb standing up telling the people not to rebel. Now, you see, God, as a result, was going to kill the people. And you can read that. Moses intercedes. And verse 11, the Lord says, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be before they believe me for all the signs which I have showed them? I will smite them with pestilence and inherit them. You better thank God Moses was there. Thank you, Moses, for interceding. And he did convince the Lord. And he says in verses, and I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering, of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty, and visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations. Pardon, I beseech, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy, as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now, And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. He changed the mind of God. That's what Moses did. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened unto my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant, because he has another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land. And he goes down to say, he says, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness. Let me give you some news here, in case you have never figured it out. Of all of the people that came out of Egypt, all of them, the ones that made it into the promised land were the children of these generations of adults here that had murmured against the Lord and sinned against him. Now see, up till the time that they came back with a bad report, God had made a way for them to go into the land and possess the promise right away. Now as a result, some of them, because of unbelief, were going to face death. They were going to die a natural death in the wilderness. They were going to die, and when the last of them died that had sinned this sin, then God would begin to do a work to take them into the children of Israel, into their promised land. And it says, but as for you and your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. Your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bury your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which you searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, you shall bury your iniquities. Even 40 years, you shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, and I will surely do it unto this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And so when they did get into the land, Moses didn't get into the land. He saw the land, but he wasn't able to get into it. The other generations that came out had sinned, and they weren't able to get into it. The only ones that went into the land and was able to get the promise was Joshua and Caleb. And the children, who were now adults. And Joshua and Caleb were older. That's it. Of the original ones, the only ones we know of are Joshua and Caleb that made it in there. Not even Moses, because of his sin. Now see, the problem that you got is after this was pronounced and the children of Israel, they begin to think that they'd done something wrong. So when you get at the end, the story, see, God's already pronounced the judgment. So this is the thinking of man. You know, Scripture tells us not to lean to our own understanding. If you miss the opportunity when God tells you to go up, don't get it in your head, well, I'm going to go up, because you're going to lose. Verse 40, and they rose up early in the morning and got them into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, we'll go up unto the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up to the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt in that land, and smote them and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. They were defeated. So some of them died a little earlier than they should have because they didn't listen. See, now this is really a good example when we talk about the kingdom of God, the kingdom war. And, of course, the enemies here are played out. You have those that are in the land that God is giving to the children of Israel, and he's given it to them because of the abominations which these people in these lands are doing. But he can't give it to them yet because you got to have faith and believe and can't be in sin. They came back believing that God can't help them. Totally the opposite. You have to believe that God can help you, that it is possible. And so they face this judgment. And so 45 years later, the ones that did it are all dead and gone, and the only one is left is all the kids of those generations and Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua, well, of course, Moses was there. Moses died later. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the ones that made it, Moses didn't make it, and the rest of them did, of this little group here. The kingdom war, see? And so today, you're not under the law. Christ has fulfilled the law, and he has brought the blood of the covenant, and he's made the ability for you to walk in the light as he is in the light. You have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Read 1 John 1, and you'll find it in there. See, that's your relationship to God, to Christ right now. And everything still requires faith. And you can thank God that you're not back in the time of the earlier covenant. You can thank God that Yahshua was coming, but make no mistake, he's coming back again. And when he comes, he's going to destroy his enemies. And that includes those who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there is an important thing to understand. And that understanding is that we are in the new covenant, but that doesn't mean that everything is just going to be nice and wonderful and you can live any old way you want to. No, that ain't going to happen. There is still something that you have to do. You have to obey. You have to follow the Lord. You have to stay in faith. And there are promises. There are things that you may want to do. But you see, there is a struggle because the devil knows that doubt can destroy what you're fighting for. Fear can destroy anything you're trying to do. And I think that's important even today. If you want to see America saved, there is such a thing as judgment. And if God has decided that America is going to face a top judgment and be destroyed totally, that's what's going to happen. But I intercede for America, as do I believe many, asking the Lord to forgive this nation, to have mercy on it, and give us more time. See, the only way to save anything, especially a nation is the people in it who are supposed to be the salt, which is the preservative, and the light to keep people from being in darkness has been silent. Oh, they've played religion, and they've had their little cutie ideas of theology, and they've preached their prosperity, and they preached all this other stuff. Christ died on the cross to give you a Cadillac or a Mercedes. Christ died on the cross in order to make sure you made, you know, $2 million a year or whatever. You know, we've had that. But see, all that is vanity. Unless you can get people redeemed and get the healing power of God through Christ in them to change them. Those kids on the street have been taught wrongly. There have been leftists and others, psychotic leftists, psychotic communists and socialists, who are so dead set on poisoning the young mind that they will do anything. And this includes Barack Obama, and he's the biggest one. This guy is wicked and vile, and you don't see it. This guy does not have your best interest at heart. And there's a lot of them out there. But it's too bad that the church has given in. Now, you see them out there protesting. You know, some of the churches, in order to stay open so they can go in their churches. Well, I got news for you. We've reported on a lot of Christians in our life, and a lot of them being persecuted, and a lot of them don't have a church. A lot of them don't even have a house anymore, and they are practically starving to death. So, you know, and overseas, you do find a lot of them, even in persecuted areas, that like to have that church as a place of security and fellowship. But I got news for you. It's neither. The church and the building is not the security. Christ is the security. The ecclesia is not the bricks and stone or mortar or whatever. The called out ones, the ecclesia, are the people of God themselves. It is time to wake up, America. It is time to wake up, church, and understand. Now, the principles fighting God, the kingdom war, and I guarantee you this has been going on in America and around the world for a long time. And we're talking predominantly rebellion of those within the faith of Christ, or supposed to be today, that are fighting God today instead of doing as he says. And I can tell you a little bit about fighting God. I've tried that a long, long time ago. And I found out one thing. It don't work very well. And the story itself is long, and I won't bore you with it. But you need to know is that today Christ is calling you to be in faith and to come unto him and to be rooted in him. And as Paul says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. You're not in a fight if you don't stand. Stand. Good day, everybody. Have a great weekend. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.